now time for Nature Spas on Dublin City FM 103.2, the program that helps to bring positive changes in your life. My name is Marie-Angèle Lascaux, and you can find out more about this program by visiting our website www.yoga-healing.com. Email springintolife@yoga-healing.com or text 086-824-2033. Today I'm delighted to welcome live in the studio in Dublin City FM a fantastic lady who has travelled all the way from North Wales to be with us, Margaret Herdman, who is an international medium and psychic. Welcome to the studio, Margaret.
Good morning and thank you.
I was wondering if you could tell your story to our listeners, because you have a very interesting story. You wrote several books, and one of the books that I read, you explain how you died at 32?
Coming up to 33, yes, yeah. But long time ago, yes. I died with the fact that I had a week left to live. Mm-hmm. I went into surgery knowing what my chances were, very slim. During the operation, I left my body. I remember looking back on my body and thinking, what a mess. I then went into a fantastic tunnel. The tunnel was not frightening, it was beautiful. At the end of the tunnel, a pure white light. As I stepped into the light, I saw an old lady, and she was holding the arm of a young boy. I looked at the old lady and I thought, that's my gran. It was my gran that, before she was ill, before she had the cancer, before she had pain. And she looked beautiful. And she just said, what are you doing here, my girl? You go back. Who's going to look after your babbies? I have further sons. Then I looked at the boy, and he was a combination of my other three sons. And he just said, hello, Mom. I'm Jonathan. Jonathan, our son, died at the moment of birth, full-time baby, with a broken back. I never held him. I never touched him. That was that. Back into my body I went. Next time I left my body again, same operation, and I went into the tunnel, fine, into the light, and I met the man who was to change my life. This was my guide. And he's been with me ever since. But he said, go back, my daughter. If you come any closer, you cannot go back. Go back. Back into my body I went. Third time was in intensive care. And the strangest thing was, I thought I was talking to my husband, who had been called in to say goodbye. And I really thought I was going at him, but I wasn't. Then what happened then was, I looked at him and I thought, whew, of all the shirts I've ironed, he wears the crappiest shirt of the nation. And he looked a scruff, but of course he'd come straight from work. I thought, where do they think I'm going? They kept on saying, she's going, she's going. Next moment, I found myself in pure white light, no tunnel. Again, I met the gentleman who was my guide, and he said, if you come any closer, you cannot go back. Go back. When the time is right, and only then, I will come for you. Go back. Go back. Our plan is for you to work for Spirit. And quite honestly, Spirit to me was whiskey, brandy or rum. I don't know, saying I don't like those either. And I found myself coming round 2 weeks later, a totally different person, with a different view of life, plus the fact I could see Spirit, know them, hear them, feel them. In fact, I began to wonder if I was round the bend, and I kept it quiet to myself for quite some time, couldn't keep it quiet any longer. And then I started to know I had to do something about it. And that started my journey of into the spiritualist world and proving that even though you die as a body, your soul lives on. And this is what my job is, to prove love cannot die.
And how did all this change your life, Margaret? Because you say you came from a place where for you spirit was something that you drink, and all of a sudden you see and hear spirits everywhere. So how difficult was that, and how did that transition, how did you actually manage to cope with that, and what did you do?
Be quite truthful, I doubted my own sanity for a long time.
Yes.
Especially when I could see people walking around me that weren't there, as you say.
Mm. And some people might say she's a bit eccentric or whatever.
Well, I mean, quite a few people and my friends used to look at me and say, poor soul, she's had it, you know. She's But I knew that what I was seeing was right.
Yes.
And things that I was told, no one else would know. Anyway, I decided then that I've got to find out about this, because I can't live in this world anymore of not knowing where and what to do. And I started on my quest for the knowledge. I joined a spiritualist organisation. I joined the spiritualist church. I basically went to the classes of development, which is a good thing. And I learned the basics. And from there onwards, I progressed. And then I went to the College of Mediumship in Stansted in London, and I was shown the correct way to present evidence, to give the truth, and merely and truthfully do what Spirit wanted of me. And from there, I've basically gone on to working in the churches, demonstrating. I've travelled the world demonstrating. And my job, as I said, is to give comfort, to give love, and to give understanding. But the most strangest thing is, you will find that most mediums are not well or have illness. It's just one of those things. And I think you have to have illness. You have to suffer a lot more than most people to be able to say, I understand.
Yes, to have the compassion.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do it if you couldn't feel from the heart how somebody's hurt or needs to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. I believe in God above everything. And I am a Christian spiritualist. And quite honestly, that's what it's all for me. That is my life now. And it has been now for over 40 years.
In a very practical way, how do you help people?
Well, very often, if I do a demonstration, the idea is that I introduce who I am, my job, and what I'm going to do. Then I will hear evidence come in from the spirit world into my ear, as you might say, or into the third eye, which is in the middle of the forehead, and you will know there is somebody with you trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to find the person that they're trying to communicate with. For instance, if it was Auntie Joan and she wanted to connect with so-and-so and so-and-so, then you would have to be guided by what you feel. Put your evidence out to the company there and ask them, do they understand it? And the person there generally, for a bit, they won't say anything. Then as you give more and more evidence, then they will acknowledge. Once I have their voice link, then I can work on it. You have to have a voice link when you demonstrate mediumship in a theatre or an organisation. That's the main thing, because the spirit world rely on you to pick up on that voice link. Even though they don't hear what they're saying to me, I know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it is giving it honestly and giving it truthfully. And there will always be sceptics, people that really don't want to know or don't want to be proved that there is another life.
Or maybe
fear, perhaps.
That also, but I was just going to say as well, I mean, in this world, there are all sort of people, and there are people out there who claim to have gifts and don't have the gifts.
Yes.
So it's quite healthy, in a way, to be sceptic.
I agree entirely.
Well, how do we know this woman is genuine?
Yes. Well, people on the whole that know me know what I am, and you will very often find with a genuine medium when they're working, no matter how many layers of makeup they've got on, right, that the third eye in the middle of the forehead is quite pronounced and red.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to hide it many times, but it's still there, and it's once I open up to the spirit world, it's there. And you feel things.
We had an example just before coming live on air. We had an instant reading in the office. A gentleman came in, and we won't divulge because it's private information, but it was quite amazing. He was amazed. He just shook hand with Margaret, and she started telling him all sort of things which nobody knew. So it was quite interesting, actually. And I guess that's the kind of thing that happened in an audience, that you would start talking. And then I guess there would also be a message of healing. You know,
definitely.
The person needs to hear something, or needs to make change in their life, or needs to be able to forgive. Or
and then sometimes people need closure.
Closure, yeah.
You know, and if someone has gone over tragically, like they've taken their own life, God doesn't punish. He doesn't punish. The God we have is a loving God. And I know for a fact that from the person that has had this problem, it's a cry for help. But you try and tell that to the family who are grieving. Not easy.
No, it's a very difficult one, this one, yes. Mm-hmm. One of the things that would come to mind is, you know, people are very vulnerable when they've lost a loved one, especially if people die from suicide. It's a very, very difficult place to be for those who are left behind. It's very sudden, and there's a lot of unanswered questions, and sometimes guilt, sometimes all sort of emotion, even anger, sadness, of course. And how does one deal with this situation?
The thing you must remember is that the people that are left behind, it's their question time. Why could I have done this, or could I have noticed this? Unfortunately, we're human beings, and we don't always see what is right in front of our eyes. So when a loved one takes their life, it's hard, because it's ended abruptly, and you feel that they haven't fulfilled what they were meant to do. But you know, to take one's own life, to me, is a desperate cry for help. And sometimes in this world of ours, with all the troubles, people can't cope. They can't cope with the day-to-day living, and they see no light at the end of the tunnel. And so they think that by going over, it will end. But when the spirit world takes someone into their own, they look after them. There's no hate, or you shouldn't have done this, or you shouldn't have done that. They're treated with love. God doesn't punish. They are God's children, no matter what. And my job is to say to the parents, or likewise, your boy is safe. Usually I'm told of who the youngster or whoever the older person was with, and that they're healing, and it is a healing time. They will, very often the spirit will communicate back and say the reason they did it, or the reason that prompted them to feel so down and in despair. And it does give a moment of help to the people. In the audience, for instance, nobody should criticize anyone, because we're all human beings. And at the end of the day, everybody deals with their problems in different ways. And if I can say to someone, he or she is okay, they're fine with the granny and blah, 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 they were grateful for what you did, that's half the battle. And I can usually communicate in that way. And that is my main job, proof of survival. Proof that life is forwarded on. It's the same though, if a child dies, it's so hard to say to a person, oh, you know, I understand. But I lost a child, so I know what they're going through. And when a child goes over to the spirit world, it's heart-wrenching for any parent. You cannot imagine, until you've been there, the hurt. Even a loved father or grandfather, they're missed. Their presence is missed. But where there is love, love will heal. And you cannot die. Your body dies. Who wants your body half the time? It's your soul that lives on within God's care. Nobody wants my body as a gift. But my soul will go back to God, I pray.
You've also produced a couple of books and a CD. And in the CD, there are several meditation And one of them in particular is taking the listeners to an Indian village. And I was listening to that meditation, and it was really lovely because you could really feel and see yourself there. So tell us about your experience in an Indian village in real life.
A few years ago, I went into the Cherokee Nations. I chanted with the Cherokee people, and I walked the Trail of Tears with them. The energies are amazing. The people are strong. And they've had a lot to put up with, and still have a lot to put up with. They're very intelligent, and they have a great gift of spiritual understanding. But they also feel a lot more than we do on the nature.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up on the earth energy, stars, sun, moon, earth, everything. They have that strong ability to connect with God's earth. They also know how to treat human beings. People say years ago, oh, they were cruel. They weren't. Their cruelty was for survival. We were cruel to them.
Yes.
And, you know, how can I put it? The Indian people are very proud.
There are, yes.
And I found that they never really accept a gift unless they give something in return, an exchange of energies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They have more knowledge than any of us.
Yeah.
For they have lived the life of the spiritual person.
Mm.
They have their ancestry they rely on, but they have a great devotion to their own people.
Mm.
They do not treat their people badly. They don't put them in homes when they can't fend for themselves. They look after them.
Yes.
Nobody's abandoned. And the energies I perceived when I was there have stayed clear in my mind for a very long time. And I would love to go back. And I pray I will.
You will?
I will, yeah. I've got one more thing to do over there.
Maybe we'll go there together.
That's a good idea.
For the meditation, I think I'm going to read an extract from your book. There's a book called Margaret the Person, Living a Spirited Life. And just take the time to make yourself really comfortable. Close your eyes, part your lips, and bring your awareness to the breath. Notice your heartbeat, the rhythm of your heart. And as you listen to these words, just let the words and the energy of the music, my voice and the word themselves reach a place deep inside you. The gift we offer to you is this. When the heart has no joy, we of spirit give you hope. We give love to sustain you. When there is no love, we offer consolation. Every beat of the heart is its own message. Every tear tells a story. The heart cries, please understand me. The tear says, love me. The human asks, who understands me? This and much more, spirit does answer you. Love cannot be measured. Life is not given to be easy. Your life has been given for a learning process. Learn well the human mind. Learn well the pitfalls of man. Earthly man can be blind. Thirst for goodness. Hunger for compassion. Give compassion to others. Cry for mankind. Smile for the future. Give thanks for wisdom given to you. Above all, rejoice in your knowledge of a future wondrous. Above all, look to a life to come. When man knows no sorrow, this is your heaven, your future assured. Slowly, when you feel ready, take a nice long deep breath and open your eyes to a new moment. This is Marie-Angeline Lascaux on Dublin City FM 103.2, Nature Spas, the program that helps to bring positive changes in your life. And my grateful, grateful thanks to Margaret for joining us this morning. It was an absolute pleasure to share this time with you.
Thank you for your time.